From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 12th, 2025. On today's show, how are the health insurance exchanges of Washington and Idaho looking after the U.S. Senate failed to pass two different plans to lower premium costs and as deadlines to enroll draw near? Plus, flood mitigation and recovery efforts continue in western Washington as Skagit County residents evacuate. And SPR's Doug Nadbornik explores how land banks fit into affordable housing strategies. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. As the U.S. Senate yesterday declined to renew federal Obamacare insurance subsidies, it also rejected a plan by Idaho's senior senator to help low-income residents. Republican Mike Crapo's bill would have given people enrolled in the cheapest and riskiest insurance plans $1,000 a year in a health savings account, among other provisions.
We can change the incentives that Obamacare gives insurers to drive premiums higher and put our confidence in Americans to make the best decisions about their own health care.
In 2025, the average person received about $500 per month in federal health subsidies. Both Crapo's bill and Democratic lawmakers' push to extend the subsidies failed to reach the 60-vote threshold for consideration. Monday is the deadline for Idaho residents to sign up for 2026 health insurance plans through the state exchange. Your Health Idaho Executive Director Pat Kelly says his employees are hearing more complaints than usual about high premium costs.
We do expect that about 25,000 Idahoans will cancel coverage due to affordability concerns. And, you know, we are seeing people cite affordability about three times more often than last year when they are canceling coverage.
Kelly says the call volume was high when Idaho's open enrollment period began in October, but business is closer to normal now. The head of Washington's health exchange says her staff is handling significantly more calls than last year. The deadline for both Idaho's and Washington's exchanges is Monday for people who want their coverage to begin in January. Washington residents have until January 15th if they're willing to start coverage in February. Skagit County locals have been ordered to evacuate low-lying areas ahead of potentially historic flooding. The Skagit River is forecast to peak at about 40 feet near Mount Vernon today. As KNKX's Mitch Borden reports, that could be a record and may test dikes and levees in the area.
Outside a fire station in the Mount Vernon area, neighbors are rushing to help one another fill sandbags to help protect their homes and businesses. Dennis Riesbeck has lived here for decades. He says he's never felt like he's had to flee, but now he's loading up sandbags to fortify his house before leaving town.
You can be worried as much as you can. Mother Nature wins, so all you can do is prepare and live with afterwards.
According to a county official, around 78,000 people live in floodplains in Skagit County. Riesbeck has flood insurance, but he says that's little comfort.
We'll see what happens when I come back Friday. If my house is dry, I'll be lucky. If it's not, then we'll have to see what the damage is and start repairs.
Washington State National Guard troops have been deployed to the region to help respond to the situation. From Mount Vernon, I'm Mitch Borden, reporting.
The record flooding that's hitting western Washington is the result of two atmospheric rivers. Robert Izell is the Washington Military's Emergency Management Division Director.
We're experiencing back-to-back atmospheric rivers with very, very significant rainfall that essentially caused rivers to rise a couple of days ago, and they dropped a little bit, and then we're now experiencing the crest from the second atmospheric river that came through.
Washington is requesting an emergency declaration from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Governor Bob Ferguson told Skagit County residents yesterday the situation is very unpredictable and something not to, quote, ride out. He stressed that anyone with instructions to evacuate should do so. A federal court has ordered the Trump administration to bring back a disaster aid program after Washington and other states sued. The Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities program funds pre-disaster mitigation efforts. In a statement, Attorney General Nick Brown pointed to the suspended projects that could have helped prevent devastating floods in western Washington as an example of the program's necessity. Under the decision, FEMA has to bring back the BRIC program and disperse the funds community projects have been waiting for. The man who was Eastern Washington's interim U.S. attorney is back on the job, in a manner of speaking. Former Pasco Mayor Pete Serrano spent the last 4 months in that post, but Washington U.S. Senator Patty Murray called him unqualified and blocked his confirmation to hold the position permanently. Serrano's time limit to hold the interim job ran out Tuesday, but yesterday the Justice Department gave him two new titles, Special Attorney to the Attorney General and First Assistant U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Washington. So Serrano will continue to be the office's acting leader with no time limit until that top spot is filled. Murray told the Washington State Standard the move was a, quote, transparent end run around the Constitution and Congress, end quote. Spokane's Historic Preservation Society is seeking added protections for the Baum House. It originally belonged to some of the earliest Jewish settlers in Spokane. SPR's Eliza Billingham has more on the family that helped establish the first synagogue in Washington State.
Isaac and Tilly Baum built their house on Pacific Avenue in Brown's Addition in 1889. That was just a few years after the first German-Jewish immigrants came to Spokane.
Isaac Baum was part of this early group.
That's Spokane Historic Preservation Officer Megan Duvall.
And his wife, Tilly Oppenheimer Baum, along with her sister, are recognized as the first Jewish women to settle in Spokane.
Duvall presented to City Council this week to show why the Baum House should be added to Spokane's Registry of Historic Places. Tilly Baum also designed the Avenida Apartments in Brown's Addition and helped establish Temple Emmanuel in 1892. Emmanuel was dedicated just 4 days before Seattle's Ohave Shalom, making it the first synagogue in Washington state. Both the Baum House and Temple Emmanuel were designed by an architect named Hermann Preuss, another German immigrant who went on to build St. Aloysius and Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic churches. City Council will likely approve the house's addition to the registry early next year. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
One of the biggest challenges of building affordable housing is buying land for the right price. That is the mission of the Spokane Regional Land Bank. It looks to acquire land that can then be sold to nonprofits and companies that are in the affordable housing business. SPR's Doug Nadbornik recently spoke with the executive director of Spokane's Land Bank, Amy Manning, about how they work.
Lots of folks can land bank, but land banks are a specific structure that is kind of a quasi-governmental structure that allows land to be held tax-free usually for the purpose of community good. So rather than having land or properties go to the highest bidder, it goes to the highest good. In our case, like, we really focus on affordable housing is our mission. So the land bank that comes into the Spokane Land Bank is for affordable housing development. Across the country, there are more than 200 land banks, and they have been put into effect to focus on vacant, abandoned, and dilapidated properties. In Washington state, we are adding underutilized. We really feel like there's land that government folks are holding and for-profit folks are holding speculatively that could go into the land bank to help us address the crisis.
So where does the land bank get money to buy land?
That's a great question. So currently, right now, well, we had three properties and we just sold one. Right now, we're very new, like 2 years old, so just a toddler in the scheme of things. And so right now, we've been using grants and the sale of our properties to be able to, like, purchase land, but we haven't yet. The idea that we've taken to Olympia and that others are supportive of is that we have a state or city or county-backed land acquisition fund that would help us pull in land that maybe nonprofits around don't have that capacity to pull it in. So we would pull it in, hold it for a time, and then get it into affordable housing. So the idea would be we would have that low interest, like, state-backed fund that we'd be able to do that. And that would be part of the land acquisition, and it would seed itself because it would be a revolving loan fund or grants. But it would seed itself as we get property into the land bank. Those sales and that sort of thing will help fund the next acquisition.
So does the land bank just hold the land? Does it improve the land in any way? For example, if you bought land and there's some remediation that needed to be done?
Yeah, part of what we're doing in Spokane is we are the first nonprofit to receive a EPA brownfield grant, assessment grant. And so we got that by like focusing on three under-invested, formerly redlined neighborhoods, West Central, East Central, and Hilliard. And we are working with the EPA to identify land that could be developed into affordable housing that might be a brownfield. We work with Department of Ecology and other folks to, when we find a brownfield, to like figure out what that remediation is and help get the funding so that it can get. So yes, the answer is yes. I just wanted to like make sure that folks know that that is part of how we're funding the work right now, is through that grant and trying to identify, and also phase one environmental assessments and phase two environmental assessments cost money for affordable housing developers, and every little bit, it's such a thin margin for folks to get that housing out there, that the more we can take off by holding land and keeping the cost down by performing those assessments means that more housing gets built.
Amy Manning is the executive director of the Spokane Regional Land Bank. You can hear a longer conversation with her in this week's Inland Journal at SpokanePublicRadio.org. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by James Dawson, Doug Nadvornik, Mitch Borden, Eliza Billingham, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.